The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bernstein again. Big opening. Has five. Has ten. Furlong's a man. And he goes all the way to the 15-yard line. 17 yards.
Welcome back to Believe in Badgers on the Believe Network, presented by BetOnline.ag and Oak Ridge Wealth Management. I'm Matt Perkins, joined, as always, by Badger legend, the Hebrew Hammer himself, Matt Bernstein. Bernie, how are we doing today?
We're doing good, man. Every day on the podcast is a holiday. Just, you know, I love chopping it up with you. I love bringing guests on that I'm friends with who have seen me in the highest places and probably some of the lowest places inside the stadium, which is pretty impressive, right, Nick? It's pretty impressive.
Inside and outside the stadium, Bernie. We've shared a couple of laughs and, you know, and we've seen each other at our highest and our lowest. So it's good to maybe share a couple of those stories.
Just a couple.
Well, we really appreciate having Nick Pascarello on today. He's the executive director of the W Club and Strategic Partnerships for Wisconsin Athletics. If you are a former athlete, you definitely know who Nick is. If you're a current athlete, you should know who Nick is. And if you're a Badger fan in general, you definitely should know who Nick is. And he's also a former Badger soccer player. So we are excited to talk a little bit about Badger soccer as well today. Bernie, I think this is our first soccer player we have. You are the first. Oh. So thank you for being the first one, Nick. We really appreciate you.
I can set the bar low. Yeah, I can set the bar low. It can only go up from here with UW soccer players. So I love it.
Listen, I'm not going to lie. Badger soccer is not exactly my forte. I know you and Rose Lavelle as basically the only two Badger soccer players around. So you know what? You're in pretty good company there as far as I'm concerned.
I appreciate that.
So before we get into it, I want to remind everyone that we are presented by betonline.ag, where they continue to be your number one source for all of your online sports wagering needs. You name it, they've got it over there at BetOnline. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 15% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV, BetOnline, where the game starts. And also special shout out to Oak Ridge Wealth Management for their continued support. If you are a current or future professional athlete, you need to get in touch with Chris Anacitti over at Oak Ridge Wealth Management. Check out oakbridgewealthmanagement.com for more details. All right, Nick, we're just going to hop right back into it here. Let's get started then from the beginning. But because before you became a head honcho over there in W Club land, you had to become a Badger. And before that, you had to get started somewhere, Nick. So how did you make it to Badger varsity soccer player? Where did you get your start?
Yeah. So when I think back to, you know, the genesis for my love of soccer and sport in general, it actually takes me back to my younger days. Bernie and I have talked about this. I'm originally from the East Coast, was born in Staten Island, grew up in Brooklyn, moved to Connecticut, New Jersey, Ohio before my family moved out to the Twin Cities, which is where I went to high school. But I grew up a diehard Yankees fan. My dad was a Yankees fan. We used to go to Yankees games all the time. So I was probably like 5 or 6 years old and went to go to the local, it was called the PAL, the Police Athletic League, like the rec league where I lived, and to go and wanted to sign up for baseball. And when we got there, I got totally dejected as like a 6-year-old kid because they said, no, you're too young to play baseball, but you can play T-ball. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't want to play T-ball. That was for little kids. I was a big kid at the time and wanted to take my love for baseball. And they're like, okay, well, you know, if you want, you can play soccer for a year, come back next year and play baseball. And I think like late 1970s. So I think my dad said, well, what's soccer? Like he actually asked that question, like, what is that? And so after a couple of exchanges back and forth, signed me up at 5 or 6 years old to play soccer. And I never looked back. I was hooked. I loved it. Played it all through, all through grade school into high school, club soccer. That afforded me the opportunity that after I was done with high school, was able to play at the University of Wisconsin. I was a freshman in 1990. I was redshirted my first year. Was on the team for the next 4 years. And it was, to be honest, guys, it was a bit of a challenge. I didn't play a lot. I wasn't a starter, I was a goalkeeper. So only one plays at a time. It's not like they could move me around the field to take advantage of my unathleticism. I wound up second string behind an eventual first team All-American. And then, my claim to fame is I graduated in 94. We had a great season in 94, NCAA tournament team, we were ranked as high as, I think, 9th or 10th in the country. Really, really good season, strong team. But then inevitably in 1995, the Badger men's soccer team wins the national championship. So the year after I graduated, and I will often say that either I helped the team get to that point or I was the one holding them back. For the 4 or 5 years that I played, they just needed to get rid of me, and that opened up the door. So, but that being said, my experience at Wisconsin, being a member of the soccer team at that time, and it's interesting when I think back on it, Bernie and Matt, my freshman year in 1990 was Coach Alvarez's first year coming in as coach. I think we infamously won, one game that season. And then in the four, that was my freshman year. By the time I was graduating, we were winning the Rose Bowl. And so I don't think I really appreciated it at that time, being, a 19, 20-year-old kid. But the transformation that I was a part of, seeing that football team resurrect itself and the trickle-down effect that had to the rest of the programs at Wisconsin, I think that has set the foundation for the success that we've had over the past couple of decades. And I got to witness that as firsthand as a student athlete, and especially in my role today, that's become more and more special to me. So that's how I got to Wisconsin as a player. I was fortunate. I got to play for a little bit after college. And then when I retired from playing professionally, I came back and I coached with the Badgers. In 01, I coached with the women's soccer team. And then 02 through 08, I was an assistant with the men's team. Then I took a little bit of a veer away from coaching and worked in our business school for a little bit, worked in our chancellor's office for a little bit. And then I came back to athletics in 2018. And I've been in this current role with the W Club since 2018, 2019-ish. And it's been an awesome run.
That's a lot of Badger experience under your belt. Good for you. I'm trying to get to your status. I want to be a Badger employee, which I am kind of through the foundation forever. So, Nick, I love that your passion seems to be the Badgers, and same with me, which lines up. Also, our team, I was either the anchor that held our team back or that was it, because we set the foundation, because I was right in the middle of, the Ron Dane years and then everything else they did for a bunch of years. Wait, so Nick, so you bring up coach, because whenever somebody says coach, Doesn't matter how many coaches we've had. Everyone knows that's Coach Alvarez.
Yep.
What was the environment like in the 90, 91, 92? Like, were people excited? Were people like, oh, he only won one game. Like, this is a failure. Like, what was that like back then?
Yeah. I didn't really notice it from kind of the from the outside in, but I noticed it from the inside out. So I was there firsthand when, you know, it seemed at the time like subtle changes, like the support staffs that were brought in, the way that we approached compliance from a team perspective, the way that training tables changed. And so there was an excitement around just noticing some of these things from a freshman through my junior, senior, and then my redshirt senior year. Like you could tell things were changing and for the better. You saw the success not only on the football field, which that, as you alluded to, Bernie, that gets everybody excited. But I think from a student athlete experience, the way that we saw some of the other things that we were afforded, even at the level of being an Olympic sport in soccer, going from, you know, our practice gear was the hand-me-down stuff from the football team, which we were happy with, to by time I was graduating. So this is in the days before these all school deals with Under Armour and Nike, but we were totally outfitted by Puma at the time, which was awesome for soccer. So all of a sudden we had like proper training gear and boots and everything to look legit. And I can only assume that was because of the culture shift and the change and the excitement that came along with that, as a student athlete, was pretty special.
So what's this culture of UW soccer when you step in? Because, you know, much has been written about the culture of UW football in 1990 when Coach Alvarez steps in. How would you describe the culture of UW soccer when you came, and what attracted you to come to UW as a soccer player in the first place?
Yeah. So to answer that first question, growing up in Minnesota, Wisconsin was the closest Division I men's soccer program that there was. Not all Big Ten schools have a men's soccer program. So Minnesota, my home state, doesn't have one. I had a goal and a dream that I wanted to play Division I soccer and wanted to stay somewhat close to home. So when the opportunity came, Coach Launder, who was my coach at the time, recruited me and offered me a spot to come. It was a no-brainer. Drake University in Des Moines. That's also a D1 soccer program. And I took a visit to Drake, and then I took a visit to Madison, and there really wasn't any comparison there, which was awesome. But when I think about, I don't think that the culture of the UW men's soccer team is any different than what we would say the football team or any of the other sports, or just kind of, you know, Wisconsin Midwest in general. We are extremely blue collar. We are extremely hardworking. We got to a point, I think towards the end there, like Coach Alvarez did, is that we were able to attract some of the top tier kids from around the country, if not the Midwest, where we were bringing in kids who played, who had experience on some of our youth national teams. Like that, you know, that hadn't happened before. And so you mix some of those kids in with these blue collar, you know, Midwest, local, Wisconsin, Minnesota kids. And all of a sudden you had this culture of these really good players that bought into the mindset of, I got to come here and work, because that's the foundation. And that's the foundation that's here. And the players that have come before me, that's what has gotten us to a successful point, all the way to where, they were winning the national championship in 95. I'll be completely honest. After that 95 season, there was a little bit of controversy. Coach Launder, who I just mentioned, he was let go after that 95 season, and the program then took a dip. Then when I was able to come in 2002, we were able to kind of resurrect the program a little bit. Coach Trask came in after we were there, and now Coach Jones is there. And I think you've seen the program continue to go on a pretty steady upward rise, which has been a lot of fun. The thing now that's interesting Matt, to answer that question, I think the culture is shifting, and I don't think it's just here at Wisconsin. I think it's across the landscape of college soccer, where you're seeing more and more that international students are becoming much more of a key player, a key role in rosters and roster managements. So, and especially in the world of transfer portals, I think we've always done a good job of trying to attract the top kid out of Wisconsin, the top kids out of Wisconsin, the top kids out of Minnesota, since there's no D1 program there. But you're going to see, more and more programs have, international kids that make up their roster. I bring up, I think it was Marshall a couple years ago, a mid-major wins the NCAA tournament for men's soccer, and like 75, they have a 40-man roster, 75% of them are international. So it'll be interesting to see how that continues to kind of disrupt what rosters look like in programs like Wisconsin and across the Big Ten.
So Nick, the international thing is interesting when we talk about soccer. We don't have enough time to dive into that because I've heard that from a number of people, and it's really interesting. But we don't have a podcast on that right now. although it's I actually think it's kind of cool, but I think it's kind of wonky when you're talking about. But soccer is a different sport. Yes. Like the international world has been doing it way better than us for forever. So yeah. Why would you go and get a kid? I don't want to dive down this hole. I could go deep. I think everyone can. I sucked at soccer, by the way. So
that's why football took over. One.
I got so many red cards. My dad's like, dude, we got to take you out of this sport. You're going to kill somebody or you're going to kill a referee. So Nick, I want to talk about a lot has changed during your tenure as the W Club ED. Like there's been a lot, not just athletics, but what you've done with alumni. And I think it's really cool for people who are listening to know how important is a W Club? You know, like when I was here, there was a W Club, but it was a Mendota Gridiron Club, I think, at the time. Or it was hyphened. It was something.
Yeah.
And you couldn't talk to those people because there were rules that you couldn't talk to boosters. So my limited knowledge is nothing of the Mendota Gridiron Club, besides the fact that I joined it later. But during my time there, you couldn't talk to people, W Club. You couldn't get rides. You couldn't do these things. What's changed that has now maybe kind of made you collaborate more with the football and other programs?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'd say the biggest shift with the W Club specifically came probably about 10 or 12 years ago, where the W Club used to operate separately as an outside entity from the university. So Bernie, similar to your role over at the foundation, we were a separate 501c3 that operated on behalf of the athletic department. And then, as the NCAA kind of made a crackdown on booster clubs and booster organizations like the Mendota Gridiron Club, the W Club, other letter winner organizations, the decision was made, well, let's bring the W Club under the umbrella of athletics. And so that happened, like I said, about 10, 12 years ago. And so the W Club now is just a unit within the athletic department. It doesn't operate as a standalone entity outside. And with that came a pretty big paradigm shift in the vision and the goals of the W Club itself, where maybe it was more primarily focused on the concessions at football games and the game programs, and that's what really drove the engagement and the revenue. Now we've taken that shift, and it's really been more about the former student athletes, making sure that they know that we care about them, keeping them connected, appreciated, and engaged. And there's coming up with new and creative and strategic ways to keep people engaged, bring them not only to bring them back to Madison, but let them know that, hey, no matter where you are, we have one of the most robust and passionate alumni letter winner organizations around. We have probably close to 10,000 living letter winners all over the world. And the W Club can act as a facilitator so that you can leverage the that alumni base in any way that you need, whether you are lost a job or looking for a job, moving to a new city, just want to come back and hang out with your teammates. The W Club can act as that mediator to make sure that happens. So that's been that you know, that shift where that's where I've seen the biggest change and the biggest focus on being a true letter winner organization in it for the former student athletes. And I would rather my letter winner organization be focused on that than, you know, how many brats we're selling at the, you know, at the Badger game. So it's been an unbelievable honoring and humbling opportunity that I've had over the past couple of years to hopefully uphold that standard.
I still have a poster that was framed. It's one of those Bucky posters, like a Picasso Bucky, that I spent a ridiculous amount of money on when the W Club was its own 501c3, as also my membership fee. Yes. And I did it when I was drunk. I'll say the truth. And I wasn't married. I was single and I was living at home. So all those checked boxes of having $500 to get rid of. So I'm never not this, but $500. I'm a crazy person. And Michael Kleber, if you're listening to it, you let me do it. But I'm not mad about it because I still have it up and it's a great story. But I don't miss those days, Nick, of spending a lot of money while also having to be a member of the W Club, which I think it's really cool that you've incorporated every team, because every team should be part of it, right? Like, you're a letter winner. Doesn't matter what you've lettered in, you are part of this alumni. So I think it's really cool. And that I was mad at the time because I paid all this money to be a member, but now I'm like super happy about it because I think everyone should be a part of you. You know, blood, sweat, and tears, no matter if you play soccer, football, you row, like every sport has the dynamics of like a lot of things suck and a lot of things are great.
Yeah.
And if you're at Wisconsin playing sports, no matter what, Matt Perkins, you're throwing the shot put, you're still waking up, you're still lifting, you're still going to training. Like, you're not just doing nothing to be part of that. And you've worked hard in that.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My thing always is now, the NIL, the transfer portal, all that stuff is crazy.
Yep.
I have to assume the W Club is extremely important with keeping kids tethered to Wisconsin. Do you have meetings with incoming students, or do you have meetings with prospective student athletes to say, hey, we have this robust alumni association across the nation. Like, we are important. This is something you come in. Because I guess I have 100 questions here, but I didn't know about this. I just knew like there are a couple of football dudes out there who would help me when I graduated.
Right. Right.
So, So I guess that's where I'm going. Like, how important is W Club to recruiting, to everything football and every other sport? Is I'm always a football guy, but to every other sport that is going on at the university.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's extremely important. I think coaches are recognizing exactly what you just are talking about, Bernie, and they are understanding that in this era of NIL, transfer portal, and the way things are changing, how recruiting is becoming so competitive, that the W Club can be and is a differentiator for us here at Wisconsin, primarily for the examples that you just talked about. That so I have more and more, I have been part of recruiting visits. So Coach Fickle has done a really good job, his recruiting team, especially when they are meeting with kids and their parents, where they know that life beyond football is paramount to them. And it's going to be part of the decision-making process. They'll strategically bring me in, and I'll sit down with those kids and their parents one-on-one, and I'll talk about exactly what you just said, the W Club network. And so what and bringing it from when you were here, hey, a couple of football guys might help me out, to, hey, we have 10,000 people that are going to put your arms around you and help you, if for no other reason, because you're a Badger and I'm a Badger and I just want to help. And I've amassed an army of people, you know, Bernie, you know, yourself included, that I know I can pick up the phone and give a call and say, hey, we got this kid who needs a job, or this kid is moving to this area. Can you help them? Can you get them an internship? Can they job shadow you? Can you take them to coffee? Can you take them to lunch? And when I start to talk about that, especially with the, you know, with the recruits, sometimes it doesn't really resonate with the recruit as much. But then you get mom and dad in that room and you start talking about this real life stuff and life after sport and how Wisconsin has has dedicated to providing resources and an entire alumni network around helping their son or daughter, that, you know, our rallying cry of once a Badger, always a Badger, like that, like I take that super personal, and that's and I'm really passionate about that. Now, all of a sudden, that becomes a real conversation and a real part of this decision. And I think it has been a separator and a differentiator for us within the recruiting process. And more I'm meeting with the recruits, and coaches are utilizing me in that fashion. And these are unbelievable conversations, really powerful conversations to have with these parents, as we talk about, hey, you know, your son or daughter comes to school here. You're with Coach Fickell. You're with Coach Healy, Coach Jones, Coach Hootman, whomever. They're going to take care of your son or daughter for the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. And athletically and academically, they are going to shine. But for the 40 years after that, I'm going to take over and I'm going to take care of them. And I'm never going to forget about them. Like, that becomes, you know, like I kind of get goosebumps right now just talking about it, because those are awesome conversations to have. And I get to do that. Like, how great is that? You know, that's so it's I appreciate you bringing that up, Bernie. It's probably one of the best parts of the job. One of the most fun conversations I get to have.
What's been your most like rewarding experience? Like, what was one time you're like, holy crap, that was so cool that I got to put these two people in connection, or yeah, hey, I put them together and they did this amazing thing. Like, what's like one or two of those times that have really
outside of putting you? Two athletes together on a podcast like this.
Yes. this is it right here. No, you know, Matt, it's a really good question. I would say that it is, I can't say it was specifically, one thing or one moment, but it is the times where, former student athletes have reached out to me because they're in a job search and they don't know where to turn. They don't know where to go. And I've been able to connect them with somebody and they were able to get them a job. And the reason why I say that, just to give a little bit more background into, you know, my story, I said that I coached here with the men until 2008. And what was after that season, there was a change in leadership and we brought in a new head coach for men's soccer. And so he brought in his own assistants. That's just the nature of the beast. And I was out of work for 6 months and I was trying to figure that out and navigate that. And, you know, to be transparent, is probably one of the lowest points in my personal and professional life, not to be employed. And so anytime, and knowing how difficult that was for me, I've made it a personal passion of mine that if I can help any Badger out there ever not have to experience what I experienced being without a job, I will do whatever I can to ensure that that doesn't happen. And so that is, so I always point to that, Matt, and I've been very fortunate. There's too many moments like that to mention where I've connected a Badger with a Badger and that ended up in a career change, a career promotion, a career journey, you know, but anytime I do that, that will never get old, because you talk to these guys and girls and you get to know their story and you get to understand them and where they're coming from and what's important to them. And you figure out how you can help. And it's just a little thing, making a connection or two. But that is the most powerful and most awesome thing that I get to do in my current role.
Nick, you bring up something really interesting, because it might not be a problem now, but I think it still is the you lose your identity when you yes. are cast out from whatever sport you are. I mean, I was reflecting on this the other day, because I still consider myself a football player. I went Absolutely. To a career fair and they put retired football player. Yeah. And it's so weird, like, right? Like, I'm a retired football player for the past 20 years, which but you lose your identity when you don't have that sport. Like, your whole life has shifted. We can dive down, like, what that messaging is at the university. But I love that you said, like, I'm here for the next 40 years. And and the fact that you're saying, I want to help a kid get a job. It's not really, to me, getting a job is important, but it's also that mental shift of, like, you're not playing sports anymore. You're not part of this sport. It can still be part of you, but your life now blossoms into something different.
Yes. And so you still have, and it's hard. Yeah, you still have worth, and you're still able to bring value to an organization or a community or whatever it may be, even though it might not be on the athletic field. The transferable skills that you have from being an athlete, a student athlete, are very sought after by a lot of people outside of the athletic community and athletic sphere. And once you're able to convince somebody of that, those transitions, the difficulty from those transitions may not always go away, but at least you can ease that burden. And I'm right there with you, Bernie. I mean, I went right from playing college to playing afterwards to coaching. And then it was so much my DNA that I needed to gravitate towards back to the athletic department, because that's part of my identity as well. And it's really hard for me to let go of that. So I really appreciate you bringing that up, because that is a big part of it. It's, you're right, it's not about getting the job, but it's helping with these life transitions.
To me, that was the biggest shell shock in my entire life outside of having a kid and getting married, is like, I'm not a football player anymore. How am I going to make money? How am I going to operate? Who's going to like me? Like, there's so many things that you feel, there's a lot of emotion, stress, anxiety. You just got, listen, you're going to have the next 40 years of your life. What you said is, like, we can find something you'll be passionate about. It just is hard at the moment. And that's when I think you're very important, is at that moment to say, hey, dude, don't worry. I was here. 10,000 of us were here with you.
Well,
you're going to cry. You're not going to cry. You're going to do right. You're going to do whatever. You're going to get through this anyway. You're going to grieve whichever way you do it. And then whenever you need help, I'll be right here. I'll be holding your hand the whole way. I love it. So Nick, let's pivot from, like, a little depressing. Don't get me depressed, Nick, on a whatever Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday.
Let's go.
Let's pivot to game day. Yep. What does Nick do on game day?
Oh, Bernie, you know real well what I do on game day. It's when I get to see you, right? That's like that's the awesome part of it. So I do have some pregame responsibilities. So the other part of my role is that I help with our employer partners. And so we have some really good employer partners, companies that love to hire our kids, build pipelines, provide opportunities for entry level positions for our graduating student athletes. So as a small token of our appreciation, we'll get them down onto the field for pregame. We'll give them a little bit of an experience of what it's like. They get to see, the football guys on the field in their element, doing their thing, which is always fun. And that never gets old, right? I've done it 100 times. And, you bring these corporate partners, these employer partners down that tunnel, and they step out on the field and you see their face light up and the wonderment and amazement that never gets old for me. I don't take it for granted. And then that quickly shifts. I'm up to Heritage Hall. So, for those who don't know what Heritage Hall is, it's a room here in Camp Randall on game days. It's transformed into a letter winner lounge. And so we allow all of our former student athletes, regardless of sport, have access. As long as you have a ticket to the game, you have access to Heritage Hall. And it is an amazingly powerful, fun, and sometimes frustrating place to be. But at the end of the day, it's about Badger camaraderie, networking, coming together. And that's where I spend, probably from the first quarter on, being able to catch up, build relationships, hang out with you, Bernie, when you're able to make it back. And I get to see my teammates. I get to see people that I've coached, people that I played alongside of, people that I've been able to build relationships with. And it's just, it's a really special place. And I talk to a lot of my counterparts across the country who have similar rooms. And sometimes it's just for football, or, there's restrictions. And you know, we have some restrictions in terms of how many guests you're able to bring in, but we've tried to be more inclusive with that space and open it up to all student, all former student athletes, all eras, all sports, and it becomes a really special opportunity to do some Badger bonding over the course of game day.
It's like a reunion, the whole entire time, hugging people and cheersing and taking some shots maybe here or there, but or here, there, here and there. I absolutely love it. What I think is really cool, Nick, is, you know, it used to be you had to be a member, right? So you could be a member, but you had to pay for it. Now I love seeing, like, you know, the girls basketball team. I have friends, girls softball team. So you see more people that you're friends with who were part of a Badger team. So I think it is kind of special that you open it up. I kind of always pushing for a football room just in and of itself, but it would be a weird room with a bunch of big meatheads. So I don't know what that is. Like, maybe a padded room somewhere. I don't know. So do you still get to, like, enjoy game day outside of, like, I don't even call it work when I come to work game days.
Right.
But, like, you get to have a rod. You get to have, a spotted cow and just – look back and be like, man, I created this beautiful thing here.
Very, very rarely, only in the, through the lens of just being a fan and being a passionate Badger fan and an alum, that's not what my game day experience is. And, you know, I very rarely, you know, watch the game. It's just, you know, on the TVs in Heritage Hall. The other parts, typically when we, another part of the W Club, my role and responsibility is to host reunions. Right. So if it's a football reunion or soccer reunion or softball reunion, a lot of times we'll build that around football games in the fall. So we will do some kind of tailgate, whether it's, you know, out on the back lawn or the front lawn, and we'll be able to, you know, have a broad, have that game day experience of tailgating, you know, being able to catch up with people. And then it's typically right up to, you know, some of the stuff that I'll do with the employers. And then up to Heritage Hall. So a lot of times, if it's a close game coming down to the fourth quarter, I'm glued to the TV, you know, with a couple hundred Badgers on my left and right, watching the game up in Heritage Hall. And that's what, you know, that's what my game day experience is. And I wouldn't have it any other way. It's, you know, it's awesome when I can be up there with, you know, with fellow Badgers, former student athletes, watching the game and having some fun after maybe doing a reunion beforehand. It's an incredible experience. So I don't
I know what Matt Perkins is about to ask. I think
I don't know if you do, but go ahead.
Maybe let me see Matt. So what I think Matt Perkins is going to ask is, any good Bernie stories, or what does Bernie look like when he shows up in Heritage Hall? Matt Perkins, am I close?
Bernie.
Tangentially, yeah, we'll get to my question next, but I do want to hear this first.
Okay.
Yes. So I will say that when Bernie shows up, if there ever, not that there typically is, but if there ever was a lull, or, you know, maybe things got a little bit quiet, that instantly changes, right? Bernie, right there. That's what Bernie brings right there. The laugh, the smile, the engagement. He's like, I think about him and I think about Richie, Mark Richmond up in Heritage Hall. Like, you guys are like, you know, you're the mayors, you know, everybody, you're shaking everybody's hand, you're giving everybody hugs, you're just engaging. People gravitate towards you. And that's that's the best part about, and Bernie enjoys a beverage every once in a while, just like we do, you know, we all do up there. But that's what makes it so, you know, that's what makes it so endearing. That's one of the cool spots about Heritage Hall, is, at least for the time being, it's one of the only spots in Camp Randall outside of the suites where you can, you know, you can enjoy a beverage, which makes it pretty special. So nothing embarrassing that I would say about Bernie, because anytime that he shows up, it's going to be happy. It's going to be engaging. People are going to gravitate towards him, and it just kind of takes the camaraderie up one or two notches. And it wouldn't, you know, it's, if he's not in there, if Mark Richmond isn't in there, some of the, you know, there's a couple other key people, Heritage Hall, it definitely has a different vibe and a different feel, not worse. Things are elevated when Bernie shows up, you know, when he's there, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
It's hard to miss him. It's absolutely hard to miss him. So what I wanted to know was you mentioned all these different sports coming back for units and stuff. Which team turns up the most? Like, which team is getting the rowdiest at these reunions? I think, like, you know, most people would say football, but I get a feeling. Now, I was roommates with wrestlers when I was at UW.
Yeah.
Those guys definitely get a little rowdy, but at these reunions,
yeah, which careful with those getting, dudes.
Which team's getting the craziest?
You know, one team. Yeah, well, I tell you, one team that we've had back the last couple of years, which has done, which they've showed up en masse and just, you know, carrying the torch, has been softball. Those ladies have been, they have
been. I've been there for some of them.
Yes.
I've been there for some.
Yeah.
I would say they might, some of them don't remember where second base, first base, any of the bases are.
I mean,
you know, Nick, you're right. They've been carrying that torch.
They have been, you know, we've done some stuff through COVID to try to engage our former student athletes with some, you know, some fundraising efforts, which, you know, a lot of times, you know, typically we don't do in the W Club. We're not, you know, we're not a fundraising arm. We're more of the, you know, we're more of the fundraisers. But, you know, through COVID, we all needed to chip in and find out creative ways in which we could help. And we put out some challenges to our former student athletes, and the softball women, they stepped up. And they were the beneficiaries of winning a couple of these contests. And man, they showed up and they enjoyed themselves in the most badger, you know, in the most badger way possible. And they were awesome to be around because they were just so appreciative for the opportunity to come back and stay connected and see each other. So anytime we provide opportunities for people to come back and be an undergrad for a weekend, they're going to show up and they're going to, you know, they're certainly going to have some fun. I mean, we did. Was it last year or the year before? We had a women, you know, 50 years of women's rowing, and we had over 400 people at that, you know, at that event. We're planning 150 years of men's rowing at Wisconsin next fall. You know, we'll get it. You know, those guys will show up and be, you know, and be awesome. So, but one group that sticks out, those the softball women, they've been awesome. And I out of those reunions, I've been able to forge a couple of good relationships with some of them, and they've been. Yeah, they've been great. Them and you know the volleyball as well. Actually, as I'm thinking, volleyball as well. They've come pretty good the last couple of years. Coach,
hey guys,
you
know, football coach. Challenge accepted. Yeah. Nick, I'm coming in there hotter than hot next year. You're gonna see. I'm gonna go as hard as I'm getting people fired up. No one's sitting down. Everyone's getting. We're just the football guys. We're doing human pyramids.
Brotherhood weekend, Bernie. We'll bring it.
I'm only able to come to Alabama, so. Baby two's coming quick. So Alabama, but Nick, I promise I will never let you down.
you, my dying day. You never have, Bernie. You never have.
Nick, I just want to be buried under the stadium. Just figure out how to do that, please.
What, you me. And Jimmy Hoffa? Like, what is this here?
Listen, I'm happy.
We'll figure it out. Maybe your ashes sprinkled somewhere. However you decide to go.
Don't tell anyone, but I'm definitely doing that. Just don't vacuum me up.
Yeah, absolutely. We can vacuum me up after the game. We'll do side by side graves, right underneath the stadium. Me next.
You talking about fundraising? It might be a good. Right. It might be a pretty. It's a horrible thing. This is a horrible conversation.
Listen, badger, always a badger. We take that serious around here.
You are literally always a badger buried under Camp Randall, and I would actually probably be happy to be part of that group. Oh, boy. On that note, Nick, thank you so much for coming today. This has been awesome. I love you, man. I truly can't wait to see you in September.
Yeah, I look forward to it. And, you know, if you need anything up until then, you know, you know how to get a hold of me. Just let me know. This has been fun. I appreciate you letting me tell my story, share that a little bit, and talk about W Club, something I'm really passionate about. And, you know, the community we built with our former student athletes, it's super special to me. I think, you know, Bernie embodies a lot of why I love to do what I get to do. And, you know, I'm super humbled, super blessed. And, I really can't thank you guys enough for letting me talk a little bit about it today. It's been great.
Well, we really appreciate it. Everyone you know where to find out more about the W Club at uwbadgers.com, or just Google Wisconsin W Club. I mean, they're on Instagram, they're on LinkedIn, they are everywhere. We love everything you guys are doing. Badgers helping Badgers forever. We want to thank everyone for tuning in wherever you are to the Believe in Badgers podcast on the Believe Network, presented by betonline.ag and Oak Bridge Wealth Management. Shout out Chris Anacetti. Like we said, thanks for tuning in. And until next time, on Wisconsin.
Once a Badger, always a Badger.
Once a Badger, always a Badger.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.